Hey, what's up? This is Mario with Reggae 33 Podcast. I'm here with John Bronco. How's it going, John?
You there?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. It's been crazy since the last show that we did last week. We got the, it's all over the headlines. We got Israel and Palestine conflict. And yeah, man, it's been nuts. What's going on over there? How's everybody taking it in the good old red, white, and blue U.S.?
I mean, it's mixed mixed reactions. I feel like there's a lot of guys that are a lot of people that are just like kind of don't know how to think about it, and so they kind of stay away from it. They don't even want to talk about it. And then there's some people that you know, they're up in arms, you know.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting, living here, because it is a, you know, Muslim country, Muslim state, and they totally identify with Palestine, you know. They go all the way on that side. And just some of the posts that I've seen from even co-workers, I was like, wow, that's really interesting to, you know, take. And so some of my friends, they're like, hey, we know U.S. stance, you know, on this situation, and it'd probably be best that you don't post anything, you know. And something interesting, Esai sent me this, he sent me a picture of the ex-Hamas leader calling for a jihad. I don't know if you've seen the picture, but he sent me this picture, and it was supposed to go down. He was calling for a Friday the 13th for things to, for worldwide. And the interesting thing is, when he sent it to me, at first I couldn't see it. Like, Instagram blocked it. And then, because I do have a VPN, I clicked on my VPN, and then I was able to download it and actually see the picture. So just that picture alone, that just tells you a little bit about where I'm at, you know? Are you there, John?
Oh, there we go. You hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, when things started going off, I was like, I hit you up, and I'm like, hey, man, like, careful, you know, like, keep an eye out, you know? It's, especially, you know, people are well aware of, you know, of your beliefs and stuff, and it seems like that's becoming the extreme, you know, and
yeah,
it doesn't. I have a coworker that's Muslim, and he's from Pakistan, and I actually went out and ate with him on Friday the 13th. And when I saw him, I was like, hey, man, because I guess he still eats pork. Well, he doesn't eat pork, but he doesn't like, he's not very strict on it. Like, he will still eat from a place if they cook pork and stuff like that. And yeah. He's like, I was like, hey, man, can you eat this? I was actually, you know, trying to watch out for him. And he goes, yeah. Oh, man, I'm okay. He goes, thanks for thinking about me. He goes, I'm a good one. And I'm like, I started joking. I started laughing because, you know, like the fact that he kind of reads tension in the moment, you know what I mean? Like, not between me and him, but the atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of, you know, being a Christian in a Muslim country, even that much more, I try to be very, very careful, because like you, I have a friend that's from Pakistan. He's been on the show, and because I do respect him, I actually care for him, you know, like, he's a good guy, man.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, and so we give room for each other for our beliefs, and it works for us. He was here last Saturday. He came over, helped me put together some midterm tests or quarter tests, and so we're able to be friends and navigate. And actually, I think it would be a good idea that I'd have him on the show, and me and him would just have a conversation about what's going on, and just what's happening, because it's getting interesting with Libya coming into the picture, USA going and supporting, and other countries going and supporting. And even here, it's funny because as you guys know, Putin was here, what was it, Thursday and Friday. And so they closed down like the schools, and we had to work from home. And I want to be very careful because I'm trying to stay here. I'm not trying to get kicked out, and this is a true story. This is the way it is here. So you got to remember, it's like communist residue and a Muslim state. Okay, so you have those two working together. So I want to make it clear, I'm not talking trash, because I've already been almost kicked out, threatened to be kicked out last year. So this is a true story, John. So Kyrgyz people eat horse, and there's this sausage that it's called chuchuk, and they make it out of horse. It's basically like a blood sausage. Well, this Canadian guy thought it was funny to make fun of the sausage, and because they said that it looks like horse, he said that it looks like horse penis. Okay. So, dude, they deported this guy. They kicked him out for it. He actually sent pictures on Facebook and was like, "Oh, look at Kyrgyz people eat horse," and I'll just blank it out, but because I'm not trying to get kicked out. But yeah, they deported him for it, and he's not allowed to come back. And my friends shared with me this story, and I was like, whoa. And so I always talk to like my Kyrgyz friends, and I'm like, dude, like I find it interesting that here in this country, you can talk crap about everybody, right? Because I tease my Kyrgyz friends. I'm like, who do you guys like? You guys don't like Indians. You don't like Pakistanis. You don't like certain people groups besides those ones, right? And I want to be very careful, but you don't like those, certain people groups. And the minute that anybody says anything, including sausage, they're gonna kick you out.
Nuts, man.
I'm telling you, it's a true story. I'll send you what they sent me. So you know us, like in America, and especially with I should say with our friends and a lot of my listeners,
I can't even eat
everything's
sausage without I can't eat sausage without cutting it first. That's how bad we are over
right,
here.
because then they'll be like, dude, you're gay,
I
right?
haven't ate a banana regularly, like in a regular way, since I was in middle school.
Right. And that's what I was trying to explain to my friends. I was like, dude, I'm not saying all Americans are like this, because we're going through, like, there's certain things that people don't want to talk about, and in America, or they refuse to even have the conversation. But I think it's because we're from maybe the old school where nothing was sacred. Like you talked about, I mean, because things happen. And now the respect of it, I get it. If it's done in comedy, because I think right now, even in America, comedy is probably like the only safe place that you could say whatever you want in a joking manner, and even send people. But what's your thought about that? I know we talked about a lot.
With the like kind of like the free speech aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
So just to keep that point going, I think that I this is the this is kind of a hard subject for me because I really don't think that there's any boundaries, which is my downfall. Because if you tell me something off the wall, if you tell me you have some like off the wall pronouns or off the wall thing, I'm gonna ask you a question about it. If you are deaf, or hard of hearing, I'm gonna ask you a question about it. If you're missing a leg, I'm going to ask you a question about it. And it's just like, how are we? It's like me getting upset if a kid walks up to me and says, "Hey, what's it like being fat?" You know what I mean? Like, how am I gonna get upset about that? It's like the kid's curious. Like let's if we can't discuss things, then we really are in trouble, man. Because that's how we learn. Like, I didn't learn. There's no. Here's a prime example. Okay, I grew up in a primarily Hispanic neighborhood. Okay, we only had like two or three black families that lived in our area. Okay, I had no idea about black culture. What, it's like your friend in Montana asking you about Thanksgiving. Like, she had no idea what was going on, right? So what so finally I grow up and I end up working in East Side Long Beach at this office building, right? And it was probably 80 to 90% African American. Like, and so I end up becoming, decent enough friends with this guy, and I start asking him questions, and he's like, looks at me funny every time I ask a question, and he goes, "John, are you racist?" And I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "What do you mean racist?" And he's like, "All these questions you ask me, it's like you're kind of like you already know the answer, and you're trying to make fun of me." And I'm like, "No, dude, like I do not know, like." I'm asking you because I feel comfortable asking you, but like, and that's how I learn a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I learn. Heck, is there a book I could read? What do you want me to tell you? So I'm the exact, opposite. I want to talk about everything. Let's talk about everything. Like, I mean, if I get to a point where you're uncomfortable with it, then just say, "Hey, man, like I'm uncomfortable talking about that," and I have no problem stop talking about it. But
And yeah, I think in America, when we get to the point that we can't have a conversation about something, we're in trouble.
yeah.
And so it's just like my friend Musin, he's Pakistani, he's Muslim, practicing Muslim. He invited me to his house for Ramadan, for
Oh, that's
iftar.
fair.
Yeah, the breaking of the fast, and we had a great time. And I know some Christians would be like, "Oh my God, what are you doing going there?" Like, dude, how would I know if I didn't see for myself?
Not only that, but how weak is your faith? Like, you can't step into a Muslim household and you'd be overtaken by a Muslim.
Seriously. And believe me, I've had people, "Why do you always take pictures of you at mosques?" I'm like, "That's where I live." That's where I live. 90% of people are Muslim. And so, God calls us to live in different places, and to, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And it just so happens that I live in Kyrgyzstan, 98% Muslim, and with this war, with this conflict that's going on, I'm like, I don't know enough about it to be like, okay. What I do know is that Israel has done crazy stuff, and so has Palestine. And they need to, dude, they need to, and I don't say this like in a not caring manner, but they need to come to some agreement. This is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I come from it. I come from hey, I understand a lot of things boil over from that area of the world. And so when I watch it as okay, like that was a big deal. Now let's see what happens. You know, like and so you know, there I saw this meme and it said surprise. It said surprisingly, Texans are not cautious about National Jihad Day. And there's this guy just like loading his gun. And I was like, well, yeah, like that's kind of like my thoughts on it. Like the most shocking part of the entire thing wasn't the fact that one side was killing the other, it was the way they did it for me. You know,
No,
because
yeah,
I
definitely.
know there's constantly killing on the other side too. So it's like it's, you know, it's not new. It's something that always happens. But I think to celebrate any side of it, man, like that there's something else going on with you if you're sitting there, you know, treating this like a football game and trying to keep score, you know.
No, yeah, definitely. And it's by far I'm not pro any killing, of course in defense or my biblical stance is biblical, and I'm just very careful because you get some crazy people, even Christians, that are like, Israel all the way, and I am pro-Israel. I'm going to say that first, but w not above the things of God. You know what I'm saying? Not above the kingdom of God and how God has called us to be. And so I wanted to say that because I already know, like, even doing this podcast, believe me, people will DM, like, what are you talking about? Or why are you? It seems like. It, and it's funny because there's some religious people on the Christian side that are like, they want you to make a hard stance. You know what I'm saying? It's like the shotgun effect. And I'm like, it's more complicated than that.
I saw a little bit of that, and I was like, it's not so like black and white, and I don't think a lot of people are treating it like a political situation, you know, and I don't think it's really like. I think it is a political situation, but it's their political situation. You know what I mean? And when we start acting like it's ours, you know, eventually it will be, you know. It's just
Definitely.
I just come from I come from a it's like Hannah was asking me because she doesn't even really watch the news or anything, and so like the day after she's like, what's going on? And I'm like, well, this is what happened. And I sent her a few things that I've seen. And then I was like, she's like, okay. Like, she's like kind of worried. And I said, hey, like, look out the window from that fence to that fence. Did anything change? She's like, no. And I said, okay, let's just keep it that way. Like, you know, like that's the only thing we can control from that fence to that fence. And, you know, that's it. Like, I don't know what to, other than that, going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the way God calls us to live. A lot of people are like, oh, these are end days. Do I believe that they're end day prophecy times? If I wake up and Russia is invading Israel, then we got some issues. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that we do have issues anyways. But at the same time, I'm just real careful. And that's the way that I live my life. I don't live my life in fear. If that was the case, I would be home already. I'd be moving back home. But I'm real careful with even with end times prophecy. And actually, I'm starting to read the book of Revelation today. And I just want to see for myself. I want to Jensen Franklin, some of the old school greats that are still around, like Jensen Franklin, Greg Laurie. They're like, hey, you need to read it for yourself. You need to check out, you need to find out for yourself. And so, yeah, I'm making it a point to start reading Revelation today and the end of Matthew, and then go into Revelation and see, okay, what's going on. I believe that we all could hear from God through his scripture, and he's not hiding it from us. And so that's my take on it. I'm real careful. I didn't go outside for the last 2 days. I just wanted to be careful and make my family feel safe. Not that I don't, I'm not in any direct danger here, but I'm always careful. My plan is always to be able to come home. Go ahead,
You
John.
sound like me during COVID. I'm only staying inside because my family wants me
Right. Well, I try to live like I tried to live that life of like, not I lived in fear before. And what does fear do? It paralyzes you. It keeps you from living. And it's not living when you're in fear, you're in constant fear or anxious. And I've lived like that before, and I don't want to live like that. So I really make it possible to make my family comfortable. And then because it's already hard. Like I was talking to my mom, and she brought up something that I never really, I don't know why, I really don't think about it, but she's like, I've already lost one son. She's like, it can't, like something would happen to you, like, and I get it. My cousin Danny's like, bro, like if something would happen to you, your mom's done. Like, that's it. Like, dude, she's gonna go crazy, man. And so those kinds of things always sit in my mind. I mean, they sit in the back of my mind, and I'm very careful. I'm not, I don't run to danger, but here where we're at now, where I'm at now, it's not a bad situation. And if it was, then, I'd be the first one to go home and be like, okay, my time's done here for now,
And I also think there's signs for it, like let whatever you feel like God's leading you to, let there be confirmation in it,
Yeah,
that
definitely.
there, if you're not if you're not feeling that way and you're not seeing those signs of confirmation, then hey, there's still work to be done,
And even, and we're gonna go in another direction because we've been talking about, the war, the conflict, and I think one of the things that would be good for us to talk about on the show is that, we've been going through the book of The Warrior Poet Way, and we're in what, the second chapter? And what was your take on the second chapter, anyways?
Oh man, second chapter is like one of my favorite because it just kind of like lays out what it is to be a dangerous man, and it lays out the different dangerous people and the different dangerous men and the ones to look out for, and he starts the chapter off talking about Tony I think it's Tony Gonzalez, Tony Gomez. I think it's Tony Gomez, the girls' soccer coach in his high school. And I'm like, it's so funny because the way he explains this guy, it's the way that everybody like describes me when they first meet me. When we go to the gym or something like that, they're like, man, when I saw you, I thought, all right, it's gonna be easy. And then we end up rolling, and they're like, man, that really surprised me. And I'm like, man, is it like, why? Do I look like an accountant or something? Like every single time, it's like, man, I was actually kind of impressed, man. I didn't expect that. And I'm like, Like, I don't get it, but apparently I look like a
Yeah.
pushover, and you know, maybe it's my baby face, you know, who
Yeah.
knows, but and I felt the same way when, you know, I started coaching with you. You
Yeah.
know, I felt like a lot of guys were like, oh, you know, whatever, and then, you know, it was a different story in the long run, but you know, I just that kind of resonated with me, and just, you know, the idea of like, hey, like we don't, it's kind of like being modest, you know, like
Yeah.
we don't need to be like showboating, we don't need to be talking about, you know, we don't need to be walking around with our blue belts on, our purple belts on, black belts on, you know, like just like, hey man, it's cool, keep it to yourself, you know. And you know, there's some stuff that, like, you know, like it's cool, like the new Nikes that just came out, where you could like change your shoelaces with the color that your belt rank and all that stuff. That's kind of cool, you know. But like subtle things like that are all right. But it's when, you know, you have a you know, an AR decal on your back window. You know, it's like, all right, dude, you're kind of like drawing a target on yourself, not just for, you know. Not just for, you know, people that want to do bad things, but also like for just, you know, arguments and conversations and stuff. And it's like, man, I don't need to have a Trump sticker on the back of my car, or, you know, something like that. I don't need all that. Like the people that the people like nobody that nobody's gonna go, hey, you have a Trump sticker in your car. You want to talk more about that?
Yeah,
You know? It's gonna
definitely.
end up with someone throwing something at your car getting keyed, or, you know, it's like, no, I'm all right, man. Like, I don't need all that in my life. I got enough stuff going on, you know.
Exactly. No, yeah. The second chapter was amazing, talking about the different types of dangerous men. And what did stand out to me is exactly what you're talking about, where because that's happened to me a lot. What you're talking about is that, like, oh man, I didn't know. I didn't know that. One of the ones, especially here, is because they see me and they first think I'm military. And I'm like, dude, I'm too chunky to be military. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
Like, but you look like every cartoon American we've seen.
the tattoos, and I'm like 30 pounds too heavy to be military. Like, stop. And then they're surprised that I'm educated. And I'm just like, and even in the States, like, some of my family that they don't know that I went to the university. And right now, I'm still in the university, trying to get another degree. And so they're like, oh, what are you doing over there teaching Mario English? Like, and yeah. And usually it comes from people who aren't doing anything. Like, just, you know what I'm saying? Because, and so I'm just like, I've learned in my older age is, like, I don't have to identify myself with the degrees that I have, the schooling that I went to, the little jujitsu that I do have, the wrestling that I do. I don't have to identify myself as that with those things out loud. You know what I'm saying? And there are some guys that they do it out loud, and I'm just like, all right, whatever. But I think the dangerous man, which I'm still trying to learn, is self-control. And it's weird that it's come back. When I was a kid, my parents used to pray for me for self-control, because I used to get so angry that I would fight. I would actually fight, and it got me into a lot of trouble. And people now, they're like, you actually would fight, because it seems like I'm just so passive and just chill, right? And so in my older age, I don't, it's like come back. It's like a giant that I have to fight. And I admire, like, in this way, in self-control, is like a Jordan Peterson and a Joe Rogan, that when they get angry, they could practice self-control, you know, and not like lose it through yelling or, all right, now I'm gonna jack you up, you know what I'm saying? And I admire that, and I'm like, Lord, help me. Like, I pray, like, Lord, help me with self-control. Last year, numerous times, well, I'll say not numerous, 3 times I lost it, and I was like, and I felt horrible after. Like, why can't I just defeat that? You know what I'm saying?
I
What
saw
about
this.
you?
I heard this. I heard this thing that Jocko said one time. He said, if you're the one yelling, you're the one losing.
God.
And
Yeah.
and he was explaining how like he's like seen. I'm gonna butcher this, but he was explaining how he would see leaders in the battlefield or in training, and they would start yelling commands or like yelling at their team, and he said those people never succeeded. Those people were always replaced, or those people's teams always failed at their missions
Yeah.
because they were never able to communicate correctly. And that being said, I yell way too much. I am like constantly like with my kids, like figure it out. Like, come on, man. And
Yeah.
it's like they haven't figured it out yet. I shouldn't be saying that to them.
Yeah.
They need me to help them figure it out,
They're five, John. Come on.
Why haven't you started the car yet? You're late for school.
Yeah. You're like, Elias is like, Dad, I'm seven.
He's told me that before. He's like, I'm still little.
Oh, poor
I'm like, oh my God. Oh man, poor kid. But
Right?
no, I mean, and there's some stuff where people like see him and they're just like, I can't believe he's doing that right now. Like, I
Yeah.
can't believe he's putting his dishes away and washing them. Like,
Yeah.
it's like no, but that's the kind of like what we, that's kind of like the standard we've set. Like,
Yeah.
no, you clean up after yourself after dinner. Like, it's not okay to leave a mess, and
Right.
he struggles with like picking up stuff. Like, if he makes a big mess, it'll take him all day to pick up Legos. Because he'll be picking them up and then he'll like start playing with them. But I'll go in there, I'm like, come on, dude. All you gotta do is pick them up and put them in that bucket. And he's like, no, like I want to play with them still.
Yeah.
But
No, dude, by far as a young dad, I was worse. And that's why I chose. Remember, we were talking about like, I chose not a coaching site in wrestling. I was like,
yeah.
it, and people DM'd me about that. They're like, what? Like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, yeah. Like, I didn't, I knew I didn't have enough self-control. I knew it would mess with mine and his relationship. And really who helped me see that was the Mr. Miyagi in my life, my dad, you know. He's like, and in such a subtle way, he's like, you know, Mario, maybe you should really think about coaching Isai. And that's where he left it, you know. And he never gave me the answer. You know him. He never gave me the answer. He's just like, you know, explore it for yourself. See,
Here's my 2 cents.
yeah, you know, and even talk. Oh, dude, you'll like this story since we're talking about dangerous men, because I think my dad was the epitome of that, you know.
Oh
And
yeah. I
go
think
ahead.
the one thing that kind of reminds me of your dad when he when I was because I was listening to the chapter a little bit earlier. One thing that he said that was like dangerous men won't just fold you up like with a pre like a pretzel. They'll break you down with their mind.
Right.
Like they'll break you down with their mind and they'll be able to they can destroy you with their mind.
Right.
And that's something like I never knew your father and like when he was very like healthy. Ever since I've known him, he, had a bad heart and everything like that. And so, but what I do know is that he was always able to like talk his way out of everything.
Right.
like and talk his way into anything.
Right.
It's the funniest story is the one I remember hearing. It was he ended up getting like more chicken for his salad at like Denny's because he was like they asked him how his food was. He goes, good, but I thought there was supposed to be chicken in this salad. I don't have no more chicken. And they brought him out more chicken,
Yep.
you know. And
That's
I'm like,
yeah.
that's Noe, man. Like he can get behind the ropes. He can get into the private tour. He can get, you know, the
Yeah.
special tickets that no one else has. That's the way he used to do things, you know.
Yeah, dude, that godly influence that he had, was like
Yep.
crazy. And so I remember, oh, so speaking of this past week, I had a dream of him, and I was surprised. I think you'll enjoy the story. I called Isai and I shared it with him, and I was like, so those dreams where you're like, they seem so real. Well,
Yeah.
this was one of them. And so anyways, we're all hanging out in the house in Montana and my family, and we're just chilling. There's a knock at the door. I'll give you the short version. There's a knock at the door, and it's his friend Larry, big old white dude from Montana, big old Montana guy.
I've met him.
And oh, okay, so yeah, Larry Belmore. So Larry is standing at the door, and I'm like, dude, just come in. Like, what are you doing knocking? Like your family. So he comes in, and because he's a big boy, directly behind him is my dad. I couldn't see him behind Larry. And it was a beautiful, like, summer day in Montana. Kids are all playing outside. I could see him, And anyways, my dad walks in, and he looked amazing, bro. He didn't look sick at all, but he looked like his age, And he didn't say anything. He just looked at me, and everybody just like gasped, like, what are you doing here? He hugs me, and I hug him. And dude, like in my dream, both of us just tears, bro. Like, all right. I actually woke up, dude, in tears.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, throughout the day, like, and even right now, as I talk to you, I could remember the dream vividly. And I remember just sitting at work and remembering the dream and being like, man, God, thank you for, I don't know how it works with dreams, but thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have that experience, because we're talking about dangerous men. When my dad passed, bro, that voice of a dangerous man was gone and is
Yeah.
gone. And so I'm left here trying to navigate. And I even talked to Isai about it this past week. Me and him FaceTimed. And I was like, bro, just like you, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to trying to figure it out because that voice is gone. And then I'm like, wait a minute, wait. Here's the pressure. I'm that voice, in Isai's life. I'm that
Yeah.
voice now. And so for you, how, John, how are you navigating being that voice, that dangerous man voice in your life with your wife, with your kids, with your family?
I personally, I think like the biggest way to, I mean, I well, by the time I met your dad, it was, you know, he had to lead with his words and whatever example he can set. But I think the biggest thing I can do right now is show them, you know,
Yeah.
show them things and show them what they need to know and just live by an example and physically, even when they don't want to, like, hey, this is what we're doing today, you know?
Yeah.
And when I see them acting a fool, it's like, no, we don't do that, you know? And just really like ushering them in the right direction, because you know, even I got my tractor running with some help from a neighbor, and my daughter like was like, Dad, I want to learn how to fix things. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I want to learn how to fix things. And I'm like, why? She goes, so I don't have to have anyone do it for me. And I'm like, okay. Like I could work with that.
Was this Brynn or Presley?
Presley.
Wow. Not
Bryn's already
surprising.
Yeah, Bren's already been through that. She's like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can figure it out, you know? Well, Bren's attitude is more like, if you can figure it out, Dad, I can definitely figure it out.
She's so cute.
But Presley's like, I want to learn,
Nice.
show me how to work on cars. And so I was like, well, you gotta learn how to use tools. And so I think I sent you a video of her like turning a wrench, and I'm like, I was showing her how to use a wrench. Like, I don't know how many people don't know how to do that or never had to do it, you know? And so it's like, okay, well, here's what I can show you. Here's if all I can show you is how to do this today, then it's a win. And then tomorrow we can do something else, or next week we can do this. And you know, and Elias, the same thing. Like, you're gonna be here too, and you're gonna learn this too. And you know, and I think the I saw this thing recently where it was like the biggest thing a man can teach his son and his kids is admitting when he's wrong and when he doesn't know what's going on. So, you know, I kind of do that too. Like, if I do something wrong, I joke around. Like, recently I ran into my gate on purpose, but because normally it's not latched, so if I hit it with my bumper, I could push it open. Well, this time I had Brinley shut the gate, and you know, being Brinley, she shut it all the way and locked it and all that stuff. So I go to hit it, and it's like a cattle gate, so I fold it in half, and so I kind of bend it back, and I'm like, okay, I could probably make this work. I'll bend it back all the way this weekend. Well, then Hannah hit it the next day. And so from now on, Hannah broke the gate. Like, so we're buying a gate, and I'm like, I can't believe you hit the gate. Like, I can't believe you did that. She's like, I didn't break it. You broke it. Only reason I hit it is because it was already broken. And so Presley and all the kids, they know, I know, and I've already told them, like, man, I can't believe I broke the gate. But for now, it's a joke about how Hannah broke it. So.
I love that game. We used to play that too. Me and I used to play it on Deidre with the kids and be like, "Your freaking mom's crazy, like I can't believe she did that." And it was a joke, of course. They knew that it was me, but we would play that game. It's hilarious, man. And it's cool when your kids come alongside, and jokingly. Of course, we can't. Sometimes we got to make sure, especially because listeners now, and they have baby ears. It's like, oh my God, you're being so mean to your wife, or blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, relax. Like, we're having a good time. She's not emotionally damaged. Everything's fine, And so,
me and Hannah lived. Me and Hannah lived in sin for about a few months before we got married. She knew what she was getting into. Okay.
right? You just made me sweat on that one. People are like, whoa, whoa, wait up. What did he just say?
What does he mean by sin?
So, but I'm glad we could have these conversations, like just true, brutally honest conversation. 'Cause sometimes even when I go back to America, sometimes I just feel like it's worse over there, like as far as like people judging you for you saying things, And it was funny because I was telling the story of my niece Carissa to my class because we were talking about Asperger's, and and they're like, "What is it called, Mister?" And I'm like, "Asperger's, it's a form of autism." And so, of course, my kids, they're in fifth grade and they think it's funny, like Asperger, like just the name Asperger's. So, anyways, so I'm sharing with them about my niece Carissa, and I tell the story of when I took her and the kids to go see the new Star Wars, and she hushed the mom because the mom brought a newborn baby to the movies, and the baby's just crying. Carissa leans over after shushing the baby like three times, And she, the lady's like, "What is wrong with you? My niece has Asperger's, you know." The lady's like, "What's wrong with you?" And we weren't sitting by them. They were sitting up in the balcony by themselves, you know, the kids. And so my niece leans over and she just looks at them dead in the eyes, according to Isai's telling me the story, you know. And he's like, "Yeah, she just looked over at the lady," and the lady was like, "What's wrong with you?" And then she's like, "I hate babies." Like, first of all, who says they hate babies? You know? But my niece does, who has Asperger's, and you know. And so we, because we tell this story, and Carissa's fine with it. You know, she's like, I think she's in her 30s now. You know, she
Wow.
was like, yeah, she was like 10 at the time. And so she's high functioning, amazing, amazing kid, well, young lady now. And so we switched it up to, "I'm so mad, I want to punch a baby." And yeah, and s jokingly in our family we say this, and but it's done as a joke, you know, in tribute to Carissa, because she's said much worse, you know. And so sometimes I tell my friends, like, jokingly, like, you know, "I'm so angry, I want to punch a baby," and they're like, "What?" Like, it caught catches them off guard, you know. And so then I tell the story.
Whenever I hear the word Asperger's, I always think about Kevin and Bean when they're like,
Right.
in and out, that's what Asperger's all about.
It's because I th Bean, wait,
Yeah,
Kevin
Bean
or
has
Bean
us.
have Asperger's.
Well, I think he's like has high functioning because they always do like those tests, like do you
Yeah.
have Asperger's? And he'll like, they're like, are you fascinated with numbers? He goes, yeah. He always gets like it's like maybe like 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
He'll answer correctly, you know.
Yeah. Same thing with my niece Carissa. And that's the thing with the Asperger's is that they have like one really good thing that they're good at. Like, they're really good at it, like almost genius level. And so with my niece, like, it was difficult for her to read, but she could read backwards like a freaking champ, bro.
Dang.
Yeah, so if you tell her to spell California frontwards, like, no, she can't do it. Backwards, and I can't even do it right now, but she could do it perfectly, like if it's she, that's the way her brain works.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, nuts. Like, she, just amazing. So yeah, so we're able, and I don't want to get back to it. We're able just to have those conversations and love on each other. And I love my niece Carissa. We're me and her, like, I've thought about even having her on the show because she's just hilarious. She is so funny. And so that people could understand, like, high functioning Asperger's, you know, and that we actually have these types of conversations. When you're a dangerous man, a lot of people, they don't want to have the difficult conversations, you know. And let's put, like, joking aside, which me and you will always joke about things, but even difficult conversations with your kids, with your wife, like, nope, nobody wants to have difficult conversations, you know. And a dangerous man will have those conversations. There are conversations that need to be had, you know. Go ahead, John.
Respectively,
Yeah,
have those
yeah.
conversations because I've had this, and this might even be off topic a little bit, but it just came to my head, my mind. There was this one time, this manager, it was a female manager, and she's just talking down to all these guys and just belittling them, and there's a story they're telling me about her, and because me and her weren't getting along, and he's like, "Oh, you should have been here when she did
Imagine
this."
that. Imagine that.
You should have been here when she did this, and she's just going off on all these guys, like belittling them and stuff like that. And then I said, you know, I said the reason why she does that is because she doesn't understand that any one of those guys could have stood up and hurt her. Like,
Yeah.
there was no respect on just a human to human level there. It wasn't
Right.
about her respecting them as employees. It wasn't about her respecting their, you know, intelligence, anything like that. It was just like there was no respect for the dangerous people you were just talking to, like they were children, you know.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, we all forget that. We all forget that we're all human, and we all forget that, you know, not too long ago we used to settle arguments certain ways. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
Yeah.
that's the end of it. You know, it's like
Yeah.
we need to be respectful about the way we talk to people and talk about things. And you know, just like the story I told you earlier about me speaking with my coworker, and he was like, "John, are you racist?" Like
Yeah.
when he said that, I shut down all conversation about anything else, and I said, "Hey, man, like I just want to tell you that I respect you." Like, not I didn't say it like that, but hey, man, like I just letting you know, like this, I mean no disrespect. Like,
Yeah.
I'm just learning from you. Like,
Yeah.
I respect you enough to let you teach me these things. You know,
Right.
it's not even about
Yeah.
like let's forget race, let's forget all that stuff. You are teaching me right now, and
Yeah.
I respect you enough to learn from you. It's, you
Yeah.
know, and so you know, it's okay to have those conversations. It's okay to talk about things. And if they get mad, tell them Uncle John said so.
Yeah, definitely. No, I have plenty. I try to have plenty of those conversations because, like you, I'm curious and I actually want to know, you know? And that's why it was like, when they were celebrating Ramadan here, it's huge, you know, it's huge in the Muslim religion. And so I asked my friends questions, but they're my friends. And so they know me. And so they're comfortable with sharing, you know, they're comfortable with sharing those things. And just like I am a Christian, like my friend, well, you guys know B, and you know, she's from Morocco, practicing Muslim. And so like she likes to joke around also, as you guys know. And so when she leaves, like I'll drop her off at her house. We went shopping together. I'll drop her off at her house, and then she'll be like, "Praise the name of Jesus." And I'm like, dude, that's not what we say. You know, I'm like, you're so dumb. She's like, or whatever you guys say. I'm like, okay. I'm like, we usually say goodbye, maybe a God bless you. But
So funny.
dude, she's funny, you know, like I can't, but I know, like honestly, I know that she loves me and cares for me, so she's not mocking, you know what I'm saying?
But even if she
If
was mocking, it'd be funny.
it would be she always makes fun of me of, you know, like the pictures on my Instagram of like, with me, it'll say like Friday vibes, and it has like my boots and my jeans and maybe my
Yeah.
knife, right? And I'll put Friday vibes. So she put one that says she, and she sent it to me. It says winter vibes, and she has like these winter slippers, and so it says winter vibes in Jesus' holy name or something like that. So I message her back. I'm like, dude, that's not what we do, you dummy. But you know, because we care for each other, we know each other, I don't take it to heart, you know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
no.
Like I know she genuinely cares for my well-being. Now, if it was somebody that I didn't know, I'd think it was funny, and then I'd be like, wait, bro, are you mocking me? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was watching this thing, probably gonna end it on this, but I mean
Yeah.
soon. Watching this thing, and it was Craig Jones. You know who Craig Jones is? He's a jiu-jitsu athlete. He's like
Is he
he's
the
famous.
older? Yeah, he looks like an older guy, but he's not.
I don't know.
Is
He, I
he?
mean, he's Australian.
No, I don't think I know.
Well, he's really good, but he's known for coming in second all the time. So he's like, I'm the best second place ever. Like, it's so funny. He like plays into it, right? Well, he'll like talk crap to people, and then they'll try to talk back, and he'll just like go further, go further, go further. And he goes, "What you don't understand is like talking crap and joking is in my culture. Like that's what we do in
Right.
Australia. So if you want to go there, I will go there, and I'm going to go too far." He goes, "I'll tell
Yeah.
you right now, I'm going to go too far. But
Yeah.
it's your job not to get offended because you wanted to play
Yeah.
this game, you know."
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the way I come at everything. It's like, man, you're gonna get offended over words, you
Yeah.
know? Like, this person didn't do anything to your family, didn't do anything to your dog, but you're acting like he walked up and kicked your dog when he was just having a conversation with you, you know?
Right.
It's like no, like we're. Like it was funny to hear him say that. Like,
Yeah.
you're getting upset over words. He goes, and that's what how we would react when people would get all mad and want to fight or whatever in Australia. We go, "Hey, bro, you're getting mad over words. Like, they're
Yeah.
words. Are you really
Yeah.
mad over them? Like, this
Yeah.
different sound came out of my mouth, and now you're upset about it."
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm glad we were able to have this conversation because, and that's why I call it Rugged 33 is because I've always wanted the podcast just to be raw and see this side of me. I think a lot of people, they're like, wait a minute, he's been a pastor at one time. He's done mission work, chaplain work. And they see some people know me as that part, but they don't know like the funny, the sarcastic, the, I want people to know that you could be a Christian and have a good time. You could be a Christian and be a dangerous man. And I really believe like that's why I was attracted to this book, The Warrior Poet Way, so that people could understand like, hey man, there's a whole other side of this. It's not just maybe what the American church is painting today or what it's known for. You know what I'm saying? What it's been known for the last, I don't know how many years, but
Like the sissies.
huh?
Sissies.
See, and even stuff like that, like in my mind, I think about it, but for me to say it, people they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe, he said sissies, and it's almost like for some Christians, I'm not Christian enough, and for other people, I'm too Christian. You know what I'm saying? Is it so? I'm like, hey, I want to be who God called me to be, and that's about it. But hey, we need to end. We got 2 minutes left. Let's say a shout out to, I want to say a shout out, of course, to my family, my son, Isai, my grandson, Sonny, Marcos, Noe, all my friends and family from the US. Go for it, John. Send a shout out.
Just shout out to everybody listening, man. It's like
Yeah.
it's pretty cool when people are hitting me up saying that they're listening, and it's cool to do this and end our week like this, and hopefully everybody has a chance to listen, and maybe when they're going to work or something, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. We appreciate it. This is Rugged 33 podcast. We are out. Share it with a friend. Thanks. Peace out.